step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Anime Cult, episode 13, I think we're at. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Dodger and Indy, as always. Hello.
13.
Hello.
13, huh? 7 years, and we're up to episode 13.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe we've been doing this for half our lives?
That's productive crazy. People, us.
Oh, my God. And yeah, if you want, I mean, when did you put up your very first YouTube video, Dodger and Indy? What year? You want to do that math?
Dodger's going to beat, yeah. 2010? Dodger's going to beat me out. Mine's 2012.
Mine's 2011. Yeah.
2004 was my first Newgrounds animation. So.
Damn.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, well that counts, dude. That counts. You've been doing this
ancient
like,
lore. I love ancient. That.
Anime cult though, 2 years about now, or a year, whatever it is. Was it two?
2 years, yeah.
Two years.
That's right. We missed 6 months, yeah.
Right. I think we missed 6 months twice. We didn't miss 6 months this time. But so like just technically a year without content. Anyway, we're here to talk about Mob Psycho 100 season 2, which was, I mean, the first season fucking phenomenal. I'm assuming everybody listening to this has watched the first season or doesn't care enough and just wants to hear us talk about how much we love it. Is there any fans that listen to us but don't watch anime?
See, that's crazy to me. That's the most insane shit I've ever heard.
I know I've talked about this before, but I love listening to like the Star Wars podcast that Jesse and them do.
Mm.
And I could not give less of a shit about Star Wars. Like I think sometimes there's just, if you enjoy listening to the collection of people talk, you don't really care too much, you know?
Not a lot of serial killers probably listen to like the crime podcasts and stuff. So, you know, that's fair enough. You know, sometimes you just like to hear about shit that you don't really dabble with.
I hope Tommy Patera never gets out of prison because I did the earliest episodes.
He's
going
right back.
Yeah. He's coming right to knock on our doors.
Bro, I love the idea of somebody coming out of jail and being like, time to see if anybody did a podcast about me and confront them in person about it. Like, brother,
you know,
please live your life.
Jumping into season two, though, everybody in the comments was like, oh, this show only gets better as it goes.
Yes.
And yes, season two was fucking incredible. Like, it was extremely good. We'll get into each episode here in a second, kind of get through them, you know, blitz through them. But would you say, as we get into this, did your favorite character change between season one and after season one and season two? Did any, like, character rankings change for you?
No. The Body Improvement Club's still the goats.
God,
I think
so
Reagan,
yeah.
Reagan got a lot more spotlight of being the goofy scammer. There was like a backstory about him being really sad and like pathetic, and you felt bad for him, and you kind of realize why he is the way he is. Season one's like, oh man, like mob has to realize this guy's like scummy. And then season two, you kind of learn a bit more about him. So I think Reagan changed, and obviously you get all the Scar 7th Division kind of have the turnaround halfway through. But no, yeah, still the same ranking. I think they're just great characters. What about with you, Teru? You weren't a fan of Teru, but
For me, yeah, he didn't. I don't hate him as much, but he definitely just wasn't like any. He wasn't on my list of favorites. You know,
yeah,
I think I appreciated him a little more. Reagan, I still think is like maybe my favorite. Still.
He's so good.
And the end scene of the last episode of season two, which gives you like, you know, the whole last bit where you get his backstory with him and Mob and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, this guy's, I like how complex and layered and flawed of an individual he is, but like, he's a good dude. Like there's goodness in him. But like you said, season one is like, he's a scam artist and he's damn good at it. And like, that's yeah. all you get.
I feel like season one, they did a really good job of being like, he's funny, but he's also a piece of shit.
Yep.
And then the last episode, you're like, well, hold on now, though. And then season two, they really built on that, you know?
Yeah, they do a good job of like, in this kind of crazy world, humanizing these characters. Really, like, I mean, that's what mm-hmm. makes my favorite stories of all time. It's just these assholes that you look at who they were and be like, oh, that could have been me. Like, I understand yeah. where he's coming from or why he's there. And now, you know, Reagan is not a bad guy. He's actually like quite a good guy. But even villains, you know, knowing where they come from, it's just good writing. This show consists, like, I can see why people love this show, because it's just every character is so relatable. Mob is so relatable as a kid going in eighth relatable. Grade and just being like, God, I remember that shit. Like,
and he really goes through it in season two.
A lot more emotion from Mob in this one, for yeah. sure. Like, straight off the bat, I think it's episode two, where, could be even episode one, where the girl, like, pretends to fall in love with him and go on the dates and stuff.
Oh,
and
then she's God, like,
let's segue
episode.
Right in then, because like, that is episode one. We'll just go through these episodes. This is the episode where Reagan, it's called Ripped Apart, Someone is Watching. Reagan takes a job exercising a spirit on a farm, which Mob accomplishes by psychically controlling the plants. Meanwhile, after, which is like a cool fight scene, really, really, again, the beautiful fight scenes and like the
sick
colors.
Scarecrow. Scarecrows are always cool to yeah. like have like.
It's sick. And then meanwhile, after the disgraced student council president Kamuro resigns, Mob is convinced to run for office, but fails spectacularly when he freezes during his speech.
That's so sad, man. He walks up there and just stands there. I'm like, oh, Mob.
Oh, honey.
Luckily for him, though, he later receives a confession from a girl named Emmy, who reveals she only asked him out on a dare, which is like, goddamn. When her friends mock her and destroy her novel, Mob intervenes, using his powers to reassemble the book, and confesses he is a psychic, display witnessed by Tsubomi, who is impressed, and which inspires Emmy to write a story about a psychic middle schooler. Great episode to come back to. Like, it's got everything you want.
I love that episode because it reinforces how empathetic Mob is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's, you know, she's part of this like really mean girl clique, and she does the mean thing, admits that she did the mean thing, and he still identifies that like this novel was legitimately important to her, like yeah. that was like true, genuine feelings from her, and that there was a way for him to help her, even though she hurt him. I just love this episode.
And there's the other side of that. She's also being bullied by her friends. She's the victim. She's the victim in herself, who was probably dead, like she said, to do it. So horrible as it is, yeah, her friends are just pieces of shit. And maybe she's not that all that bad.
I remember in high school or like ninth grade, I asked out this like girl, and she told me, why would I want to date somebody who looks like he's dying of AIDS?
Yeah.
This is like the mean girl shit of like back then.
What the
I was like
fuck?
Tiny and like really like nerdy in the anime club and all that stuff back
I got
then,
that
like,
as well. not the AIDS thing, but like,
oh okay, well like, I was like maybe it's a
girl. Phenomenon. What is going on at your guys' no, schools?
The popular girl said, even Liam's gonna find a girlfriend one day. And that was
that was what my mom would tell me. It was like, yeah. You will one day. I'm like, no.
And like, yeah, that fucking high school is just awful, man. Like, it's just awful.
Yeah, the high school was rough. I mean, like when we were in high school, it was just like all the popular shit. It wasn't popular back then.
No,
you know, superheroes,
no.
Video yes. games. Like, it
that's
was
when
all,
I dropped out so of anime because I'm like, I cannot do that here. I'm already getting fucking owned.
That's gotta be a home only situation.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z it'll come on the swing back up when I'm older, but right now, nope.
Just, I'm gonna put this away.
Yeah.
So episode two, Urban Legends and Countering Rumors. Reagan and Mob are hired to debunk emerging urban legends and facing competition from rival psychic Banshumaru Shinra. Reagan demonstrates how ordinary occurrences are misinterpreted as supernatural, such as human-faced dog revealed to be a pet with a face drawn by children. However, one legend proves to be real, an actual evil spirit, which Mob promptly exercises. Following these events, Reagan decides to establish a website for psychic consultancy business, for his psychic consultancy business.
This really reminded of you, me of you, Mathis, all the fucking conspiracy monsters and shit.
Like, the human face dog? We've talked about something like that. Hell, we had Dodger on for an episode about all kinds about of demon dogs. You have to come on to Chilluminati as well.
Absolutely.
You also have to come on Geekenders. So
yes,
top
should.
Top, buddy.
Yeah, man, come on, get out of Australia.
Yeah, I'll wake up at 5 a.m. and then I'll.
Thank you. Yes, could you please?
Yeah, conspiracy shit's fun.
It's so good, and it's got the flasher with the red trench coat. Is that this episode where he meets?
I think you're right. That was this episode.
And the lady in the swamp, right?
Yeah.
And is this the one with it's got running grandma, which is it a Dan running granny.
Yeah.
And this they like
breaks. Running granny must be like a popular thing.
It's got to be like an actual thing in Japan.
And it broke Mob in a way that he's like, even a grandma's faster than me. I've been training with the Buddy Improvement Club, and even the granny outrun me. It like fucking broke him more than anything we've seen.
Progress is slow and steady, man. Yeah. It's not been that long. You know,
it's
keep
turbo
working
granny.
Out.
You can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about turbo granny. Yeah, you need Dan in there and take care of him. Then we move on to one danger after another, called Degeneration also. Reagan's new website brings success, including a troubling request to curse someone, though he initially refuses. He placates the client with a false charm. Mob is unsettled by the desire to harm others. Their next job leads them to a woman's apartment where the alleged spirit is actually a neighbor using out-of-body experiences to spy on her. He is arrested, and Mob is confused by the woman's shift from fear to disgust. When college students hire them for protection during a spirit photo shoot but refuse to pay, they later return in panic. The spirit photo is real and promise payment. At the site, Mob finds three peaceful spirits of a deceased family who simply wish to remain together.
I forgot about this
one. It's sad.
Those teens pissed me off. I hated those teen characters.
Yes, oh, yeah. Agreed.
I mean, you're supposed to, but like, god damn. And they come back later, but man, Anyway, continue.
Yeah, you need to
That's my takeaway from that episode.
They suck. because the students demand exorcism despite Mob's protests. And though Dimple tries to provoke the spirits into evil, they refuse. Yeah, I mean, that's a way to do it. It's like, you know, trying to provoke somebody so you don't feel bad about what you're about to do. Yeah, seeing Mob's distress, Reagan understands that Mob sees spirits and humans as equals, and that rapid job exposure has strained his worldview. Reagan performs a fake exorcism to satisfy the clients and consoles Mob, which is, again, Reagan coming through is just like, you're a good dude.
Yeah,
who later wonders what would happen if he ever chose to curse someone and whether anyone could stop him before falling asleep.
Good episode.
Yeah. Fun little episode.
Season one's kind of the same thing. The first like seven episodes are like case of the week kind of things, like even slice of life as well. And then the later half is just like claw division for battle, like the real stakes.
The first episodes do a good job of setting up like what Mob's current anxieties are.
Yeah.
Is he thinking about? What is he like? What are his current insecurities that are sort of plaguing him, because that usually comes to a head in the second half at some point.
Yeah, it's the pacing of the show. There's not a single, like, it is, yeah, like you said, it's of the week, a kind of a case of the week, but it never feels filler to me.
No.
Like you said, like Dodger said, it's perfectly
any time
setting
spent
things up
with these characters as well is just so like pleasant because of how well they're just written.
Episode 4, Inside Evil Spirit. Reagan and Mob are hired by the wealthy Masashi Asagiri to exorcise his daughter Minori. Really love this episode, by the way. It's one of my favorite episodes as well.
Yes, good episode.
Which is one of my favorite parts because they are joining a group of rival psychics, and all of them are fucking hilarious and great, including Aban Shumaru again and Kirin Jodo of the Sun Psychic Union. Asagiri explains that Minori is possessed and has been confined. After Reagan wins the right to see her first through rock, paper, scissors, of course.
When he says, I'm going rock every time. And everyone's like, you shouldn't say that, man. And then the next scene is him winning every single one. It's so good. It's just like the most Reagan thing of all time.
She initially to him appears normal, leading others to suspect she's being abused. But Reagan detects inconsistencies in her speech, provoking the spirit to reveal itself as Kaiji Mogami, a former psychic recognized by Dimple. While the other psychics attempt and fail to exorcise Mogami, Mob disregards Dimple's warning and enters Minori's mind through an out-of-body experience, leaving his physical form under Dimple's control. Great scene. I love when he goes and he like kind of weaves his way through and then get this freaking smiley rosebud cheeks on Mob's fucking face.
which comes back later with, you know, the goats, the Body Improvement Club.
Yes.
It's so good. Such I love a good that scene.
Dimple also just a good dude.
Dimple is so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Inside her mental world, Mogami demonstrates his absolute control, stripping Mob of his powers and defeating him. He explains that psychic abilities are emotion driven and negative emotions being more potent. And reconstructs the mental world into a twisted version of Mob's life where he has no powers, friends, or family. Just real, really depressing shit.
A brutal world. Like that episode with just him going to school, getting absolutely bullied. Ritsu doesn't stand up for him. Yeah, it's relentless. And it has I think it's the next episode after, like, because it only goes halfway through. And then the big battle is in the next episode with some of the most insane visual effects, like for like episode 5 or whatever it is. It's so good.
As a side note, I think I remember last episode, Mathis was like, the animation is so good. Does it get better? And I think it gets cleaner. I think it does improve. Somehow
it just I think cleaner is a really good way to describe it, and like it's just like they play. What I love about the show too is they're not afraid to play with the art style on screen at any given point, whether it's just like very simple and silly looking like doodles or something as extravagant and gorgeous as any of the psychic battles they have, like just purposefully, like it really just keeps you hooked, like everything's constantly moving and it's all in tone with whatever whatever's happening on screen. I love this, like, obviously the metaphor of like the negative emotions being more powerful, just because, you know, in life, rage and sadness are the easy things, right? Like when those things hit, it's easy to give yourself over to just anger and rage. And because in that moment you feel justified and righteous, but like at the end of, have you ever finished being raged or angry and then felt satisfied by whatever you did while you were angry? It's like
only when I fixed it with the gym.
Right, but then you're channeling like, it, and you're not giving in, like, you know, to your basis impulses. You're using it as motivation. And Mob is, you know, obviously this is his character, is like love and patience is always the goddamn answer.
That's why we quit League of Legends.
Yep, seriously. I literally quit League because I played with my closest friend, and one time I like ripped him a new one from playing awful. And then we went back and watched the replay and I realized how terrible I was playing.
I'm like, you did not want to hear back yourself in a league match.
Nope. And I was just like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's making me a bad person. Like, what other games are you going to get that competitive anger out of other than League?
Fucking Valorant, the other one they made. They got a fucking knack for that.
And then there's episode 5. Discord. Oh wait, did we finish this one or did I cut myself off? I think I cut myself off.
He goes into the other world and it kind of just ends, which they don't a lot. They don't cut episodes. They're usually pretty rounded, but in season 2 each episode kind of leads into the next one. I feel like a lot more than season 1.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz they don't really tell us how long he perceives himself to be in there until the next episode, right?
Yeah.
Which brings us episode 5, Discord Choices. Mogami reveals his past here. He worked extreme jobs to save his ill mother, who died nonetheless, driving him to suicide to become the ultimate. That's right. Yeah, the ultimate evil spirit. Like, we learned that, like, he was doing all these things and, like, all just so he could kill himself and become mega evil powerful, which is, like, one of the most anime shit things in the world. And I love it.
I think that's, that's like Solo Leveling's whole thing. He's like trying to fix his mom. That's his whole shtick.
Yeah.
But it's also super relatable, man. The world, like, it doesn't matter. That's just how the world is sometimes. Like, you could try everything you can and you just can't control everything. And trying to do so only will make you angry and sad. In the mental world, Minori joins Mob's class and orchestrates relentless bullying against him. While only 30 minutes pass in reality, Mob endures 6 months of powerlessness and mounting despair, which is just...
It's hard to watch. It's just like it's supposed to be, but you're like mobbed as like you're gonna break this kid and you're not gonna like it. Like, what's gonna happen?
That's exactly what he wanted, though. Is like that to him forget what was real and forget what was actually going on. And after failing to save a stray cat from torment, which was fucking hard to watch, Mob is provoked into fighting back. And Dimple, having helped the other psychics escape, enters Minori's mind to aid Mob, restoring his memories just as he begins to unleash his power. Mogami then reveals the mental world's inhabitants are spirits he absorbed, which he sends to attack Mob. Drawing on 100% courage, Mob defeats the spirits, but their released collective overwhelms him until he reaches ... percentage, obliterating the mental world, which is just a fucking awesome piece of just
so
art
good.
To watch. It's just, God, that whole fight scene of him just fighting everything is just so slick. Awakening in his own body, Mob watches Mogami depart, only to be captured by Matsuo. Minori wakes up and tearfully apologizes. Mob forgives her, having learned that people can change and that his own life has been shaped for the better by those around him. And that's one of the things I liked at the end of this episode, is he asked her, is like, is that who you are? Like, is that actually who you are? And she's like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, and then she leaves, she goes to leave, and then she turns around and, like, you know, is like, but I feel bad about it. I'm sorry. But it's like, yeah, you know, it's that 6 months in a 30-minute thing is like, how do you, like, trying to put myself in that situation is just a fun thought experiment. How do you operate?
How do you move on from that?
You lived a whole life.
That's like a break. That's like an anime cult break.
Don't do that.
Right. You went through one whole anime cult break.
No. That's like the I saw the lamp thing, right?
Oh, that's one of my favorite Reddit posts of all time. Right? That and that one, and my mom jerked me off.
Is that still a Reddit post, Mathis? Or is it, you know,
dude, the one where the boy broke both his arms, and over time, as his mom was like taking care of him, started jerking him off because she came in and noticed he was like sexually frustrated.
What?
It's one of those heinous like Reddit posts that got like really popular.
What?
Nobody knows if it's actually, if that's real or not.
That's a Chilluminati episode.
You gotta find that guy.
We need to do a bonus episode where I'm just reading you the Reddit post.
Yeah, so and special guest. Guy who got jerked off by his mom.
I'll come on for a mini Chilluminati and you can just read your favorite Reddit posts that are horrifying.
I don't tell Jesse or Alex what I'm gonna do.
No,
I'm
don't tell them what it's gonna be. Jesse, I'll just will turn off. He'll be like, leave. Hi guys.
He'll leave the call. He will leave. And I put that man through a lot, and I think he will still leave.
I swear to God, if I get a guest appearance and that's the episode I'm on, that's it. I'm leaving this podcast too.
Dude, write that down. All right. Episode 6, which is like right around the halfway mark. Poor Lonely Whitey is the name of this episode. After Mob ends their partnership upon realizing Reagan has been exploiting his psychic abilities, Reagan reflects on his lonely existence, but resolves to continue his business independently. He begins filming his exorcism process, sharing free online tutorials to expose psychic frauds and offering life advice, which earns him a positive reputation as Seasoning City's bro. His growing fame leads to magazine features and a television appearance offer. Unbeknownst to him, the show is a trap orchestrated by Kieran Jodo of the Sun Psychic Union, who holds a grudge against Reagan from the Mogami incident and intends to publicly expose him as a fraud. And that's where the episode ends. Another cliffhanger before moving into the next one. We can probably just go into the next one here.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is Cornered True Identity, episode 7. During a live television appearance orchestrated by Kieran Jodo to discredit him, Reagan is tricked into attempting to exorcise a child actor, fully exposing his lack of psychic abilities and humiliating him publicly. The scandal ruins his reputation, sparking widespread rumors and even forming a group of self-proclaimed victims. Mob hears the news but remains unbothered, trusting it as part of his master's plan. As reporters and detectives pursue him, Reagan holds a press conference where he's aggressively questioned. When asked why he entered the supernatural business, he reflects on meeting Mob 3 years earlier, a moment that inspired him to continue. Regretting how he used Mob, he smiles at the camera and says, "You have grown up." Suddenly, the building shakes and cameras float midair, startling the media, who believe Reagan is responsible. He ignores the chaos and walks out. Later, meeting Mob and Dimple, Reagan asks if Mob now knows his true nature. Mob calmly replies that he always knew. Reagan is a good person.
What a great episode.
Yep.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, it just adds wonderful depth to Reagan as well. We go on to episode 8. Even then, continue forward. Mob trains for his school's marathon with support from his friends and Reagan, hoping to place in the top 10 and confess to his crush, Tsubomi. During his training, Ritsu and Teru assist Reagan in his absence. Tsubomi and a friend visit the office seeking relationship advice. She tests Reagan by asking about a crush, having recognized a photo of him with Mob. On race day, Mob perseveres through an injury but finishes around 74th and collapses before the end, waking to praise from his teacher about his personal growth. He feels a sense of accomplishment, and later, as Ritsu waits at home, Sho Suzuki, an Esper from Claw, appears unexpectedly.
A huge drop in this episode. Goddamn.
Bro.
The ending of this episode is insane.
Because, yeah, this is when Mob returns, he finds his house burned to the ground with charred bodies inside, triggering an immediate and catastrophic emotional overload, pushing him into the question mark state. That ending, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
I was like, they killed his family? Like, what is the rest of the show going to be like?
That was one of those episodes that was like, we're having such a nice time. Look at Ma, but he's like really growing as a person. I'm so proud of him. And then everything is awful at the end.
I think even his face changes as well. Like he gets the classic anime angry face, and it happens again at the end. But yeah, the first season, you kind of have the 100% as like the build up, and then they kind of had to outdo themselves. So now when you see the question marks, you're like, oh shit. Now they've done it, instead of like seeing the 100% and be like, oh shit, now they've done it.
I'd say if I had a complaint about the season, and it's like nitpicking, it's the fake outs. I'm just like, in general, in storytelling, I'm sick of fake outs. Like, because as we go into this next...
I feel like this is the only time they did it, though.
I think it is the only time they did it. It's like nitpicking, right? Like, because it would obviously be an entirely different show if they didn't fake out. Because at the end of that episode, I really was like, well, now, like, if... Obviously, I'm going right to the next episode because what is this show going to be if his whole family's dead? Like, what is this like, about to become? Like, I'm so
depressing
curious.
Depressing our show if it continues like that. Yeah,
it's like Ava.
No, this one's animated.
Oh my god!
Still
get him!
Don't you dare talk about my beautiful Evangelion that way. We still have to watch End of Eva so you get the real end of the show.
Guys, it's not like that.
It's not like you don't understand.
You don't get it, okay?
So the next episode, on the brink of emotional explosion, Mob is calmed by Dimple, who reveals that the charred bodies were fakes. Enraged, Mob hunts for the...
He didn't know that. He was just saying that just to fucking... calm it down. He's just tried something, which luckily it was true, but
he was correct.
He was correct.
Enraged, Mob hunts for Esper, the Esper's responsible, encountering two scars from Claw's main branch who are also searching for him but know nothing about his family. Koyama and Sakurai arrive with a newly formed alliance, including Esper children from the Awakening Lab, most former scars of the 7th Division, and Reagan, to unite against Claw, which is preparing a full-scale assault on the city while eliminating all opposition. This is like take over the world shit that there's like, I'm like, oh, damn.
The stakes really went up.
they jumped immediately. Reagan reassures Mob of his parents' safety, allowing him to calm down and fall asleep. Meanwhile, Claw's leader, Toichiro Suzuki, mobilizes his forces. Hattori of the Ultimate Five hijacks television signals to broadcast Toichiro's declaration of world domination. Shu leads a separate resistance, recruiting Ritsu and safeguarding Mob's parents. Toichiro then dispatches Shimazaki of the Ultimate Five to capture the Prime Minister, a task he accomplishes effortlessly. And then Teru intervenes, but is decisively defeated by Shimazaki's superior teleportation abilities, despite a valiant effort, says the Wiki.
I really like the blind guy. There's like an anime trope that I really like is super fast and super strong. Like, I don't care about any powers. Like, if those are the two things, like, those are sick. Like, those are like my favorite powers in any anime.
I told my kid and I were doing the like, if you could have any superpower, what would it be thing? Mm. And she was like, I would want to be a shapeshifter. And I was like, I would just want to be able to lift anything. Like, I just want to be so strong that people are like, what the fuck? Maybe it's just as you get older, you know, your desires are simpler.
Me want to just lift rock, feed family, go sleep.
Exactly.
Episode 10, Collision, Power Type. As the group moves to infiltrate Claw's occupied tower, Toichiro dispatches Shibata of the Ultimate Five and a team of Espers to locate and eliminate the still sleeping Mob. Reagan manages to subdue the lesser Espers, but unintentionally enrages Shibata, transforming him into a relentless powerhouse determined to destroy Mob. Dimple possesses Mob's body to flee, but when Shibata threatens a crowd, including Tsubomi, he is forced to fight back. After Shibata violently launches Mob's body into the Body Improvement Club, fucking he hurls Mob's body. I'm like, well, okay, good luck, I guess. Like, you know, so Deus Ex Machina needs to come save him at this point. Its members try to intervene, but are quickly overwhelmed. Only Musashi remains, declaring that Mob's perseverance inspired their courage and vowing to protect him. He literally throws his body over Mob. Stomp this fucking super psychic strong dude, just crushing him.
That's why he's the best character. Just it's so awesome. Good. That's, he's not even possessed at that point. He's like, you know what? I'm going to rescue Mob from this Hulk creature.
It's
and
awesome.
I like when Dimple takes over and they fight and he wins because his real strength is like better than this fake made up like pumped strength.
Yeah, so yeah, real strength is better than psychic strength.
Yeah, yeah. All the Body Improvement Club didn't realize he was possessed. They're like, "Holy shit, you're really strong. Like, you're in great shape." And he's like, "Yeah, I guess I am." So good.
The Body Improvement Club are just
and then
so...
they're like, "You shouldn't be sleeping on the street, Mob." And then they leave when he wakes up.
I don't think there's a bad character in this show, man. I just don't think there's a bad character in the show. I
even
imagine
like
that carries forward
ones
to season
like,
three.
So good. Yeah. Like I haven't seen season three, so that's gonna be exciting.
Oh, you haven't? Actually, for some reason I thought you've seen everything.
I started it, but it wasn't finished. So I'm like, I'll wait for it to finish and then it just
It's so good. I can't wait.
So then episode 11 is Guidance. On his way to Claw's Tower, Mob battles a group of Claw Espers until Minagishi, of the Ultimate Five intervenes. Matsuo arrives to assist Mob, but loses the flask containing Mogami, which the Espers shatter, releasing a furious and overpowered Mogami. Because, of course, capturing that dude in a little glass bottle was not going to come back and bite everyone in
the
ass.
Best
for that.
Plan,
that was the craziest thing, by the way. I know we kind of went over it quick, but it's like, why'd you trap him in that? Why would you even want to trap him? He's like, thanks for that. I'll see you later. You're like, you're just going to let him walk. You're just going to like let him walk away with this dude in a glass bottle. Not your problem anymore.
Crazy. Yeah, because he captured Dimple as well. And like he thought, now he's mine and he's going to be eaten alive in there. And then Dimple's the only one that came out.
Yeah, no shit. As Mogami prepares to kill Minagishi, Mob pleads for his life, insisting that he can still change. Mogami relents, advising Mob to be stricter with others to become unbeatable, then departs. Meanwhile, the rest of Mob's allies are intercepted and swiftly defeated by Shimazaki. Shu and Ritsu reach the tower. Shu proceeds alone while Ritsu stays to fight Shimazaki. And just as Shimazaki is about to deliver a final blow, Teru and the former Scars arrive for a coordinated counterattack. Despite a valiant effort, though, Shimazaki overwhelms them all after escalating his power and sensing Mob's approach in his heightened state. Shimazaki turns to confront him, but is unexpectedly defeated by Reigen. Forced to retreat, Shimazaki flees as Mob continues alone to confront Toichiro at the tower. Only two episodes left, which is kind of big part one, part two. This is the first one, the battle for social rehabilitation, friendship.
Isn't it? There's 14 episodes in this season?
I think there were only 13.
There's 13 and there's like a 14th is like a bonus one where they go away to the lady's got like a retreat is possessed and they go on a train and Reigen falls asleep on a train. It doesn't have an intro or outro, but it is still part of season two. I didn't watch it the original time I watched season two either because I'm like,
I was gonna
done.
Say, I don't, like, I don't think I watched that.
Yeah, like, I thought 13 was the last one. And then it's like, up next season, like up next episode 14. I'm like, what the hell is
season
14?
Wiki. So not wiki, just season two. I'm just gonna go to it on.
It's like the most filler. I mean, it's still really good, but it is the most filler.
Maybe it's because I watched it on Amazon Prime because that's where I watch everything apparently.
it's on Crunchyroll, yeah.
Yeah, but they're tied together. Yeah, it stops at 13 on Amazon Prime, which is why I stopped probably.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I'm a bad host. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, it has nothing to do with season two. It's like a little bonus.
Okay. I have to go watch that anyway.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
I didn't realize that was a thing. God damn.
Yeah, me either. I'm like, season two done. And then it's like,
did you
season
watch it?
14.
No, well, no, you tell us what it was about, Indy. What was it about?
Yeah, pitch it.
It is about there's a ghost and Reigen has to exorcise the ghost in a ski resort. But he just wants to go to the ski resort as an excuse to go on a holiday. but the ghost traps him in a train and just him. So when he falls asleep, you get possessed. So he fell asleep on the train and he's stuck in this infinite loop on the train while all the rest are enjoying the ski resort. It's really good. It's really awesome. Good. And then they can come and go as they please into the train. And Reagan's like, he's got a beard going. He's like, where are you guys coming from? Because he thinks they're just going to the bathroom on the train, but they're in the ski resort. It's really good.
No, I gotta watch that. That sounds really funny.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the big battle.
To the last two episodes. After effortlessly defeating Hattori, Shu confronts his father, Toshiro, but is soundly overpowered. Toshiro reveals the nature of his abilities, able to store and transfer psychic energy, and drains the defeated claw soldiers around him to demonstrate. He recounts his childhood, where his immense power bred a sense of superiority, fueling his delusional quest for global domination. Meanwhile, Mob frees the Prime Minister and encounters Sarazawa, the most powerful of the Ultimate Five. Once a reclusive shut-in, Sarazawa found a purpose under Toshiro, but is swayed by Mob's empathy and offer of friendship. Mob then confronts Toichiro directly, but despite his efforts, cannot reason with the power-obsessed leader. As he moves to kill Mob, Reagan intervenes with a punch that is dodged, and Sarazawa barely saves Reagan from a lethal counterattack. Every time Reagan does one of his special moves and the narrator comes over and talks about a special move, by the way, is just fucking amazing.
It's so good.
It's literally always just a surprise attack that you couldn't see coming.
Mob
also, an umbrella as a weapon. I really like the concept of an umbrella as a weapon. They do that quite a bit in a few different anime, and I just really like the umbrella as a weapon.
It's slick. Yeah,
it's super slick.
Like, I like a cane as a weapon, too. Cane as a weapon is one of my favorites. Mob reaches 100%, and in the ensuing chaos, Reagan, Sarazawa, and Shu are safely lowered to the ground alongside Ritsu and the other allies. Toshiro taunts Mob as weak, but Mob declares that with his friends now safe, he can finally unleash his full rage without restraint. Which brings us to the final episode, titled Boss Fight, The Final Light. Mob gradually shifts through various 100% emotional states, pressuring Toshiro to unleash his own power at maximum output. This causes Toichiro to lose control, transforming into a living bomb capable of annihilating the entire city. Demonstrating profound compassion, Mob absorbs and redirects the catastrophic energy into his own body, resulting in a contained explosion that spares the city. This is a great scene when that happens because he's like sits with them. Everybody's like going to get out and everybody's like, come on, Mob, go. And he's, you know, they turn around. And he's just like, no, I'm just going to sit here because I believe in the good of everybody mostly. I'm going to do what I can here to save people. Demonstrating profound compassion, he absorbs, redirects the catastrophic energy into his own body, resulting in a contained explosion that spares the city. And in the aftermath, a humble Toichiro admits his errors, apologizes to Shu, and surrenders to authorities. Television reports reveal that the redirected energy triggered the sudden and colossal growth of the broccoli seed Mob carried in his pocket, now known as the Divine Tree. Life gradually returns to normal for everyone involved, and Sarazawa begins a new chapter as Reagan's trainee. End of season 2.
The broccoli was shown in season 1's intro. That's how crazy that is.
Phenomenal storytelling.
Like there's a broccoli that, you know, explodes in season 1 intro. You have no idea why, but at the end of season 2,
It's great. I love it. Another fucking like 10 out of 10 as far as I'm concerned. Like this is easily one of my favorite animes we've watched on the show and out of my limited anime experience of all time, so it just goes right up there automatically. There's so much good shit out there, man. I'm so glad we did this show. Just so I can even for an excuse to watch the
it's
anime.
It's a great excuse to watch a bunch of good shit.
So good.
And one of the other reasons that I love the way that this season ended is, again, because the earlier parts of the season were a lot of moments where he was interacting with somebody who generally was not a nice person.
Yeah.
But like either seeing like humanity in them or finding something that was like genuine about them. And so in the end, having to show so much empathy and kindness to somebody who was like really awful. It felt like the season built up to that really well.
It's a wonderful lesson the show kind of imparts that is just something that like once you see it in reality, it's hard to unsee, is that 99% of people who are dicks or awful or bad or whatever you want to call all come from trauma. Like everybody is the way they are obviously because of the stuff that happened to them, but some people more than others, like you just fall into a cycle of the things that kept you safe while you're going through that trauma, and then that becomes who you are, and then those habits that don't serve you anymore are the only things that are left, and they can make you a terrible person. And like, you learn like a Toshiro and all that, like his whole terrible, like awful, like losing his wife and all this stuff that just is like, well, what's the point if I can't do anything about like all the horrible things? So fuck the world, fuck everything. But Mob, the show does a great job at, you know, using Mob as a vessel of being like, no, like the answer is really as cheesy and cliche as give, just love people, man. Just like,
yeah,
empathize and be there and just give them the just see them for who they are and be there for them. And that alone can do life-changing good for the individual who needs it. And that's what the show does so good about everything at the show's core is about the emotion of humanity. Everything is about the, like, it's both blatant and in its subtle ways. And I love it for that. It's just a fucking great show.
Yeah. Like friends and family are just like number one, like apart from health, like nothing beats out friends and family.
And I'm super excited. We'll be moving into season 3 next.
Yep.
So we're diving literally right into that next recording session. Yeah, I guess final thoughts on season 2. What are your final thoughts as we get ready to say goodbye?
I'm so excited for season 3. I can't wait for you guys to watch season 3. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I was gonna say, have you already seen all of season 3?
I have. Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited. So final thoughts, season 2 for you then. Dodger, let's, yeah, other than you're excited for us for season 3, do you have any final thoughts on season 2?
We basically said this already, but I just like that season 1 did such a good job of introducing these characters that are all lovely, and season 2 took all of them and really lovingly like expanded on who they are. I think it was great. I loved that there were even minor characters that were barely in season 1 that still showed up in season 2 in some way, shape or form. It's just fun. I think it's fun and sweet and
it's phenomenal. Indy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Same thing.
It's more of the same of
put you on the spotlight. No, unique views and opinions only, please.
on season 2. Tell us how bad it is. Yeah, like it's just more of season 1, but that's like the best thing you could ask for. And it's kind of because I watch, and not for this show, I watch just a different anime whenever I'm watching anime. On the treadmill, and I did Dandadan season 2, and rewatching that alongside Mob, I'm like, it's just not as good. Like it is just, it's nowhere near as good as Mob. It's just, it's in a league of its own. I can't imagine it dropping out of my top 5 after season 3. If anything, it might even like move upwards, but it's just perfect. Literally perfect show. It's funny. It's got the goosebump giving moments, the aura. It's got great characters, fights. It's literally anything you want from anime, even the slice of life stuff. It's got it.
All there.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And it's all top notch, man.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. So, well, there you go. That's season 2. We'll be back next time with our look at the final season of the show, which I'm going to be sad to say goodbye, to be honest, of this show. But we'll be back next time. Thank you guys for listening and supporting us. It will not be 6 months before the next episode. And if you are that person who listens and doesn't watch anime, please post on Reddit. I want to know who you are and why. Thank you guys again. We'll see you next time. We appreciate you. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
My mom jerked me off.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.